Yes, very much, Wayne. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you. I'm sorry that I have been missing. Life gets hectic sometimes, doesn't it? I'd like to pick up on something that Wayne commented on, and that was the fact that sometimes things are tough and difficult, and we dare not shy away from the difficult things of our faith. Our faith is never going to be easy. Jesus didn't promise us anything, really, but a cross. And so I'd like to talk to you today about a passage that I personally find quite difficult, and that is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Particularly, we're looking at verses 1 to 14. I wonder if many of you know the old fairy story of the emperor's new clothes. Well, the emperor was an extremely vain man and used to change his clothes constantly. Two scoundrels were passing through his kingdom and heard of this, and they told the emperor that they would like to make him a new suit. They told everyone that the material they were going to use was so light, so fine and delicate, that it was just about invisible and could only be seen by the clever and the wise. They were all conned, of course. The material, in fact, didn't exist. And so when the emperor strode off down the street, he was, of course, stark naked. But his loyal courtiers, not wishing to appear to be stupid, told him how wonderful he looked. And so the charade went on, until a little boy in the crowd spoke the truth, as children are off to do, and said, "Hold on, the emperor's got nothing on." Hopefully, just while I was reading and thinking about that, you've had an opportunity to grab your Bibles, your scriptures, and look up Matthew 22, the beginning of that chapter, particularly, as I say, verses 1 to 14. Only Matthew actually tells us this story. Luke gives us a similar account in some ways, but one which in other ways is quite different, and it doesn't appear at all in Mark's Gospel. It is the story of the wedding banquet. In this parable, the king holds a banquet to celebrate his son's wedding and invites many folk, but they do not come. He sends his servants out to tell everyone to gather for the wedding. Everything is ready, but again they do not come. Some of them mistreat the servants, and others merely just go off to their businesses and their farms. The king then says to his servants, "Go out and bring in anyone you can find." And so they do. They go out and bring in all the vagrants and waifs and strays, the good and the bad alike. The king goes into the wedding hall to meet these guests and discovers one without a wedding garment. "How did you get in here," he says, "dressed like that?" And he calls his servants and has the man thrown out, where it says there will be weeping and grinding of teeth. And the parable concludes with the words, "For many are called, but few are chosen." As I said in my introduction, I find this a difficult passage, but one we dare not shy away from. It does seem initially to be rather unfair. The king seems unfair. So what can we make of it? The passage comes hot on the heels of the story of the vineyard and the wicked tenants in the previous chapter, chapter 21. And through the centuries, Christians have interpreted these parables in a particular way. In the parable of Matthew 22, the king is God. The king's son is Jesus. The guests, traditionally, were felt to be the Jewish leaders. And God's servants were the prophets of Israel. And perhaps for Matthew's community, Christian missionaries of the early church. When the leaders of the Jewish leaders rejected God's invitation to the kingdom, in other words, when they rejected faith in Jesus as the Messiah and rejected it with violence, the messengers went out onto the byways and preached to everyone, to the Gentiles, to the unclean, to the outcast. So through the rejection of the Jewish leaders, the kingdom spread and took on a universal dimension. However, and this is very important, entry into the kingdom must begin with conversion. Remember the early words, the first words in Mark's Gospel, repent and believe the good news. Entry into the kingdom requires of us that we change. It requires of us a no to our former lives and a yes to God. Much like the yes of Mary in Luke's Gospel, be it done to me according to your will. Yes, say yes to God. And the white baptismal garment of the new Christian in the early church represented that life of conversion. Long and white, like the wedding garment in the Gospel, the baptismal garment served as an outward sign to the believer's conversion. Without it, anyone who tried to enter the kingdom would be rejected. As Jesus stated, many are called, but few are chosen. It'd be interesting, wouldn't it, to play Here Comes the Bride, or the wedding march as we gather for children for church at home. People would think perhaps we've gone slightly mad, but in doing so we would be making an interesting point. And that point is that when we gather to break bread together, as we have done today, we are celebrating a wedding banquet. Now, some of you may already be married. Some of you may not be. But what I'm suggesting to you is that if you have made that decision for God and said, yes, you are married, in a manner of speaking, right now I'm speaking to you. You are the bride. You, the church, the bride of Christ. And you became this when you were baptized, when you made that commitment to God. You entered into a relationship with God through Christ. You became a member of his body, the church. We are a covenant people bound together by the new covenant that was sealed by Christ in his death. And we've heard of that today, haven't we, in our communion address there by Wayne. Now, the similarities to marriage are quite clear. In the wedding ceremony, vows are exchanged. You enter into a new relationship, a covenant with a person. Rings are offered as a sign of that covenant. When we gather to break bread, we renew that covenant that we've made. We declare our faith. We may use a formal creed or something quite simple, but we give testimony to our faith. We receive the sacrament, the emblems, the tokens, the signs, whatever we want to call them, of God's love. And in return, we offer ourselves. Now, I'm under no illusions about marriage in our day and age. It requires a great deal of hard work for them to be successful. And there are many reasons why marriages do not succeed. The difference with our relationship, our marriage to God, is that he has done and continues to do the hard work that is necessary. The question is, are we able to respond to that? What about our wedding feast here today as we gather across the world and across time? Well, you've been invited here today, believe it or not, by God. You are not here as some passive onlooker. You are not an audience. Much as we might enjoy listening to music, ultimately, it's not entertainment. This is work. Now, some churches, of course, perhaps more traditional churches, may call it liturgy. And the word liturgy is a Greek word that means service. In the Greek-speaking world of ancient times, it was used to describe an act of public service. And the church adopted it to describe its worship. It is an act of service. And this is what we are doing here today. Weddings are, of course, wonderful, wonderful occasions. There is so much joy. There is the anticipation of a future lived together. There are tears of happiness. So I ask you, do you feel like that today? Because you should. At weddings, there is that nervousness that we all feel as the time for the draws near for the bride to arrive. Do we feel like that today? We know that marriages aren't always as good as they could be, yes. There are difficult times, and there needs to be repentance, and the relationship needs to be worked at. Do we feel like that today? We should, as we gather together here today, for church at home, be feeling a sense of overwhelming joy, a sense of anticipation of the future. We should be feeling just a little nervous. Are we not, after all, invoking the power of the Creator of the universe? And of course we should feel a sense, a deep sense of our own unworthiness. Like the Emperor, some of us may be told that we look wonderful. But as Wayne has pointed out, that's really the work of the devil, because the reality is quite different. We are we not troubled? We are confused. We are sinful. We are mortal. Perhaps we are sick. Perhaps we are lonely or grieving. Now this requires of us hard work. It requires of us worship and prayer, repentance, the offering of ourselves. Gosh, this invitation that you've got here today is beginning to look more like a working bee, isn't it? And it is to some extent. We need to understand that Jesus, in the parable of the wedding feast, is saying that the feast is work. In one of the catechisms of the church, I can't think where now, it says that the chief end of man is to worship God and enjoy him forever. To worship God, pay homage to him, give God his worth. This is why we are at pains to do things well when we gather like this. To give God his worth. This is why we want to give service to God. If we understand our invitation here today to church at home as being, when I say today, whether it's morning or afternoon, whatever it is for you, if we believe or see it as being some sort of reward, then we are making the same mistake as those early Jewish leaders did, the Pharisees particularly, those to whom Jesus addressed this parable, because they thought in terms of status and thus reward, rather than response and thus service. I'm afraid all too often I hear people say, oh, the church does nothing for me. Well, it did nothing for me. But of course we should be asking not what can the church do for me, but what can I do for the church, for the body of Christ. Many are called, few are chosen. The end of our reading warns us against complacency. Merely our attendance at the wedding banquet is not enough. God doesn't call us because we're wise or clever, and his call requires of us a proper response, a wholehearted response, one in which we do our utmost to live up to our baptismal promises. Any other response is vanity. And we might find ourselves like that emperor, inappropriately attired, to say the least. Thank you, and God bless you all.